One.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Presenting Reverend J.O. Garner's 30th year pastoral appreciation at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church of Leesville, 1220 Northwest Harrison Street. The theme, Looking Back, Reaching Forward, from the book of Job, chapter 8, verse 7. The special guest at this wonderful event is Reverend Greg Oliver of the Mount Canaan Baptist Church of Shreveport.
I've got to look at myself in this area and ask myself, am I a lunatic? Because I remain in places that I could get out of, but I choose to stay.
Your calendar should be set August 14th at 3 p.m. The 30th Pastoral Appreciation of Reverend J.L. Garner at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, another proud sponsor of this station.
Come on, you can clap your hand right where you sit at. Little old country song says this, listen. Tell the world
that Jesus lives.
Tell the world
that Jesus lives.
Tell the
world that Jesus lives.
And he lives.
God in my soul.
And he Jesus
lives.
Tell the world
that Jesus lives.
Tell the world
that Jesus lives.
And he
lives in my soul.
And he listen here. He lives.
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 Down in my soul.
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 Tell the world.
Oh, yes, he lives.
Oh, yes, he lives.
Oh, yes, God lives. Oh, he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Tell the world.
That Jesus lives.
Tell the world.
That Jesus lives.
Tell the world.
That Jesus lives.
And he
God again for our choir. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles real quick to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. And I'm going to be very brief this morning. Joshua chapter 2. Now I want you in your private time to read the entire second chapter of Joshua chapter 2, all 24 verses. Stand if you will. Amen. Hallelujah, and thank you, God. Verse 1 says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk for just a few moments about the providence of God. And the providence of God. Let me say happy anniversary to Brother Jerome and Sister Katrina Robinson. Happy anniversary. Amen. God bless you. The providence of God. Thank you, ushers. I just want to say that God, you know, when we talk about the providence of God, we also talk about the sovereignty of God. And most of you are more familiar with his sovereignty. Don't go far, musicians. Amen. Most of you know more about his sovereignty than his providence. Because when we say that God is sovereign, we say he does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and with whom he wants. Amen. There's no boxing God in. Now, some of you probably have heard already that your pastor showed out at the district this week. Thank God for our district association. But I said a few things that I just felt needed to be said, and this message goes in with that. And so happy to see Deborah Hewley here also. God bless you. Deborah, amen. And we know y'all are going to be ready to sing or do something before the service is over today. Hallelujah. Y'all getting warmed up over there. We're so glad to see you. Amen. Who am I missing over here?
Donna.
Who?
Donna.
Oh, and Donna's way over here. God bless you. Amen. So we got almost the whole crew. And y'all get ready to bless the Lord today. So happy to see you here. But at our district this week, and I don't know how much longer I'll be president of the Congress, because I said some things, and I want to thank Minister Wilson for coming down, even though I told everybody, don't y'all come down, just leave me alone, because I didn't want nobody to be able to come back and tell them what I was going to say. But there's this thing in our district, and even in our state, and even in our national convention. But in our district, there's one pastor in particular, but we see it all the time. Some pastors who go out and say, what is Baptist and what ain't Baptist? You know, that ain't Baptist, and this ain't Baptist, and that ain't Baptist. And I tell folk all the time, yes, I was born a Baptist. I was raised a Baptist. I was going to die a Baptist. But I have to inform some folks sometimes that if you don't live right, you can go to hell Baptist. Ain't no guarantee that just because you Baptist that, you know, you can't say heaven belongs to me because I'm Baptist. No, you better get saved. Do I have any witnesses here today? But anyway, you know, there's this thing about what's Baptist. And y'all may not know it, but your pastor gets a lot of flack because, y'all know that I didn't always believe in women preachers. For a long time as pastor of this church, I was like some of the others. I didn't believe in it, amen, until I started studying the Word. I had to get in the Word. And like I said the other day, I said to the pastors, don't be no punk pastor. And I'm not talking about homosexual, don't be that either, but I'm talking about don't let folk push over on you and force you to believe. See, one of the things about being Baptist, one of the things that makes us Baptist, the Baptists believe that every local church is autonomous. What does that mean? That means that what we do here at Pleasant Hill may not be what they do at St. Paul. We don't have a bishop and a pope and a cardinal telling us what we can and cannot do in our local churches. That's up to the congregation and the pastor. And I told them in our district, I said, look, I have never tried to get any of you to do what we do at Pleasant Hill. Y'all can try to imitate us, but you can't be Pleasant Hill. Ain't but one Pleasant Hill. That's a good place to put your hands again and say, thank God for Pleasant Hill. Amen. But the Lord showed me, because the scripture most used to say women can't preach is the one that where Paul said women should keep silent in the church. Well, heck, we don't follow that. Amen. You know, and at our district meeting, we had several great messages by women, and they were on the floor, but I got up, I told them, I said, y'all got smartphones? How many of you got smartphones? Everybody held up their smartphone. I said, well, don't sit in here with a smartphone and be ignorant. I said, look up the word sermon. And I had them to look up the word sermon, and the word sermon said a religious talk normally in a church setting. It didn't say nothing about by a man or from the pulpit. It says a sermon is any talk, any message that has to do with scripture. Amen. So all of the speakers that we heard at our district, even the ones by women, were really sermons in a real sense. And then I said this, God forgive me, I said, if some of us can preach, talking about men, if some of us men can preach, anybody ought to be able to preach. Oh my, oh my. And so anyway, the bottom line is I want us to understand the providence of God. And that's what we'll see here in this message today. Now, there was a list of warning labels that were pasted on products that seemed to be somewhat redundant. For instance, there was a warning on a baby stroller that said, remove child before folding. There was a warning on a brass fishing lure, Reverend Dorsey, with a three-pronged hook that said may be harmful if swallowed. There was a warning on one of them flushable toilet brushes, you know them brushes you use, and the warning on there said don't use this for personal hygiene. There was a label on a bottle of drain cleaner that warned, and this one really got me, if you y'all go home and look at your drain cleaner, and there's a warning on there that says, if you cannot understand or read all cautions and warnings, don't use this product. If you can't read, you already got a problem. Amen. There's a warning on our HP laser cartridges, the printer cartridges. It says, do not eat toner. A can of self-defense pepper spray warns. It says, may irritate eyes. Well, I hope so. Amen. Because if I spray it on you, my intent is to mess with your eye. A dishwasher, get this one. Look on your dishwashers when you get home. There's a label on the dishwasher that says, do not allow children to play inside the dishwasher. A household iron, and y'all, some of y'all have seen this one on your iron. It says, do not iron clothes while they are being worn. Have y'all seen that one? A warning on a knife that says, never catch a falling knife. There was the warning on a heat gun. Now, this heat gun is used to remove paint from cars, but it gets up to 1,000 degrees, but they had to put a warning on it to say, do not use as a hairdryer. Now, that's humorous and that's funny, but do you know why these warnings are there? Because some fool along the way did every one of these things. Just like the woman that sued McDonald's. Y'all know she knew that coffee was hot. She got millions of dollars because she went, and now McDonald's had to put on every cup, caution, contents are very hot. And I've come by to tell us this morning that there are warnings in the Word of God, and we don't take them seriously. Do I have a witness today? There are warnings. There's a warning that says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. There are warnings in the Word of God that we need to pay careful attention to, because God is sovereign, and if we disobey his will and disobey his word, tell your neighbor there are consequences. Amen. So far, when we read the Bible, we understand that God is sovereign. When we look at Joshua, and that's what this text revolves around, Joshua's life, you have to realize that Joshua was who he was because of some things that happened in his life. And everybody in this room, you are a result of stuff that happened in your life. Do I have a witness today? Amen. And I know, like me, that sometimes we wish some things would not have happened along the way. But do you understand that you would not be the person you are today if those things had not happened in your life? And so I like to tell folk, especially in counseling, you know, some things you got to deal with. You got to come face them. It has happened. It's over now, but don't let anything that transpired in your past to hinder you from becoming what God wants you to be. Do y'all realize that the folk in the White House, in the Capitol, the singers, the stars, they've all been through some stuff, amen, and much of it they wish it would not have happened, but God in his providence allows. I'm not saying he made it happen. I'm not saying he did it. I'm saying, but some stuff God allows because he knows that we can never walk in our purpose if we don't have some things to happen along the way. Give God a hand of praise in this place. So Joshua used the pressures of his enslavement by the Egyptians. He used the humility of his service under Moses and his exposure to the presence of God himself in order to mold him into the man who would lead Israel out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And my brothers and sisters, you need to understand that God does the same with us. When we go through difficulties and face trials that don't seem to make sense, we need to realize that this is the very time that God is doing his deepest work in our lives. And that's the message of James 1 and 2. Y'all hear James say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Did you get that? When the bottom is falling out of your world, James says you have reason to be happy because God is at work. There may be somebody in here today, it looks like you're at rock bottom. It looks like the bottom has fallen out of your life. It seems like you're at your wit's end. You're at the end of the rope. You don't understand all the stuff that's happening right now, but don't give up. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Is there anybody here today on the other side of your trouble, on the other side of your trial, that you can give God a right now praise? Because you can say, after all that I've been through, don't act like you ain't been through nothing. After all that I've been through, I still have joy. After every trial, after every trouble, after being lied on and talked about and mistreated, baby, one thing I won't let the devil do is steal my joy. Give God some praise in this place. We've got to understand that it's our trials that drive us to our knees in prayer. And it's there that we're reminded of our absolute dependency upon God. And maybe if we prayed more, let me back up and rewind. Maybe if we prayed more, amen, then God would spare us from a few of these trials. And then some folk are funny. You know, some folk go through stuff they don't want nobody to know. I don't want nobody to know. Amen. I'm going through. I don't care if you know. Amen. I want prayer warriors to know when I'm going through. Now, I know there's some haters that, amen, will sit back and gloat when you're going through trials and troubles. That's all right. Let them gloat. But I want to put it out there so my folk who know how to grab hold of the hands of the altar and get a word through to God, I want some folk. Anybody know you made it because somebody was praying for you? And yet I'm sure that when Joshua was a slave, he wasn't thinking about how God was going to use this experience in his future. He probably just accepted it as his lot in life, as did the other 1 million, 2 million people that were enslaved with him in Egypt. And then when he served Moses, he was content to play second fiddle. Amen. I don't think it doesn't read in the text that he had any aspirations to become the leader of Israel. That was in God's plan, and God worked it out for him. His plan was to conquer Jericho, and I want you to keep in mind that Jericho is about 7 miles from the Jordan River. And you can imagine that one day somebody from Jericho, one of the citizens of Jericho, they probably were down by the river washing clothes. I'm going to have to remember, choir, to get y'all from behind me because Sister Moore is going to holler me out. Amen. Amen. Sister Moffitt, you must have earphone on. All right. All right. Because I need y'all to get this word. All right. I need y'all to hear this. I need us to understand that somebody from Jericho was probably down by the river washing clothes or fishing or something, and they saw 2 million people coming. Don't you know that must have alarmed them? 2 million people coming. And I'm sure they ran back and said, my God, there are 2 million people. Those are the people that left out of Egypt, and they're looking for home. And we need to be worried in Jericho, because do y'all remember what God told the Israelites? He told them that when you go into those lands, kill everybody. Kill the children, kill the animals, kill everybody. And so they had to be alarmed, amen. But God was working his plan. And somebody here today needs to understand that even though you don't understand it all, you can't explain it all, but God is working on your behalf. Do you believe that today? Do you believe it? Even though it looks bad, it looks dark, amen, God is working on your behalf. And so God uses a woman by the name of Rahab. Now get this. The text says she was a prostitute. But God used a prostitute. When you keep on reading, you figure out when you go over to the New Testament and look at the genealogy of Jesus, guess whose name is in the lineage of Jesus? Rahab. Amen. And so what I want to leave you with today as it relates to the providence of God is that no matter who you are, woman, man, black, white, rich, poor, God will use you if you let him. I want every believer in this room to know that God has a work for you to do. God didn't call any of us to be bench warmers or bench members. Amen. God has a work for us to do. One of the other things I said in our district, and I believe this with my whole heart, is that where there is zero evangelism, there will be zero growth. Let me back up and say that again. Where there is zero evangelism, there will be zero growth. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God is calling on us to tell somebody about the saving power of Christ. Amen. I'm not just talking to the pulpit. I'm talking to the pew. There's some folks on your street. There's some folk on your job. There's some folk in your home who know that Jesus is still in the saving business. How many of you feel a responsibility in your life to tell somebody? That's the difference now than years ago. We used to tell folk, but now we're scared to tell folk about Jesus. We're scared that they're going to say, but you went here, or you went there, or you do this, or you do that. No, I'm not trying to save you. I'm trying to present to you the one who can save you, the one who saved me. His name is Jesus. Please hear me today, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to be perfect to be a witness. I say you don't have to be perfect to be a witness. Don't let anybody hinder you from telling the story of Christ. If God could use Rahab, a prostitute, he can use anybody. Stand on your feet in this place. There may be someone here today, and maybe, just maybe, in my old age, my patience is wearing thin, and I'm saying stuff now that I...
The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church of Leesville is having a back-to-school event featuring free school supplies, free food, gift cards, and games August 21st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's no charge to get in, with special musical guest, rapper D1. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, August 21st, and their back-to-school event. Need more info? 337-238-1779. It's free for everyone. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJOFM.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
I want y'all to stand to your feet and help me welcome my brother, Brother Spanky Williams! Your love right from the start.